Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, while you have your Bibles, go ahead and play that video. And then I'll start. We're beginning a new series today about living in the kingdom. Make sure the volume's up at the beginning.
The apostolic commission to pray on earth as it is in heaven was not a nice flowery prayer to inspire and soothe people in trouble. It was an apostolic commission and assignment because all of heaven is backing that prayer. It is an obligation for us to pray it and to watch it happen. It is not an option. It is at the absolute center of who you are. It's at the absolute center of why God has left you on the planet. It's because He has plans for this place. So much of the church, the whole theology is wrapped up in this place burning up and being destroyed. And we get this strange, perverted sense of encouragement when tragedy happens. That was a pretty good point. It's a strange sense of encouragement that comes on people when there's crisis and tragedy because it's nearer the end. The end of what? Who did He put in charge? Who did He put in charge? How did He model dealing with storms? How did He model dealing with disease? What did He do to confront corruption in cities? What did He do to try to transform and bring about change? He modeled something for us that brought the reality of God's world into this one. It is our divine assignment. It's at the core of who we are. Everything we do every day either contributes to that outcome or it takes away from it. There is no middle ground. Our assignment is to bring the reality of His world into this one. It's a lifestyle that He's called us to. And what is my job? My job is to bring heaven. And here's part of the problem, is we confuse our destiny with our assignment. Our destiny is going to heaven. Our assignment is to bring heaven. What is it about this kingdom? It's the king's domain. It's the realm of the king's dominion. Jesus stood before mankind in Matthew 28 and He said this amazing thing. He said, "All authority has been given to me." Here's Jesus, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man. He forfeited everything because He owned everything. Literally all that exists was His. And He gave it all up to become a man. And then He re-inherited everything as a man so that you and I would have an inheritance. The absolute mercy of God. So now He stands after His triumphant resurrection, the defeat of the power of death and hell, the grave. All that stuff was defeated, the power of sin. And He stands before humanity and He says, "I got the keys back. That which was lost in the garden, I've got it back. Now, let's get back to plan A." And He makes this profound statement. He says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Jesus did not make that declaration as God. Now, He's eternally God. He's not a created being. He didn't ascend, you know, to some position. He's eternally God, but He did not make that statement as God. How do we know? Because He said, "All authority has been given to me." There's no one higher than God to give God authority. When Jesus made that statement, He made the statement as our elder brother. And if Jesus can say, as our elder brother, the Son of Man, "All authority has been given to me," then there's someone we've been nervous about that has no authority. No authority. Where does He get His authority from? He has to do what he did in the garden. He has to talk till someone comes into agreement, because when you believe the lie, you empower the liar. Agreement is what empowers him. You say, well, I thought my city is so dark. I live under this closed heaven. Well, the city may be, but you're not. And the Lord is calling us to be a people that burn with an understanding of the will of God. What is the will of God? It's whatever's going on up there ought to be going on here. And whatever's going on here that's not going on up there, it's got to stop. That's the assignment. It's not complicated. Jesus didn't make it complicated. He says, the Father sent me, I send you. The assignment I have, you have. Listen, you've not had a good day till you've confronted the impossibilities of life and you've watched them yield and bow to the name Jesus. Those are the lasting things. I know that anyone who would come out on a night like this is just hungry for more, and it's really always fun to just talk to people that are hungry. But I want you to catch something. It's not a hunger that we have for an individual to come to bring the goods. It's a hunger for a release of grace so that we become more clearly the body of Christ, that which represents Jesus, more profoundly, more powerfully in society, not just in church services. The things that we're enjoying that we've been going through in Reading for the last quite a few years is we actually now have more miracles outside of church on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, than we do in the services. And we have many miracles in the services.
Amen. You know, I play that video because I remember when I first came into the, quote, full gospel. And I sat in a service, and it was a big church, and I sat in a service, a well-known individual made a statement, and it was kind of implied in things that we were taught. You know, the whole issue of, we'll just go over there, Matthew. You know, everybody names it the Lord's Prayer. I would say this. It was not the Lord's Prayer, it was the Lord's perspective. It was his attitude. It was how he functioned. And, you know, the statement was made. Let's just read the verse in Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 9. It says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, he goes on to say some other things. But I want to focus on that particular thing, because the mindset that we were taught, whether it was, this particular individual, he just came out and said it, just, we don't pray that anymore. Because the kingdom's already here. Is that a true statement? Yeah, it is a true statement. The kingdom is here. But I want to submit to you this. The kingdom has always been here. It didn't just show up one day. And I'm going to show you some things today in the Word, because I want you to... What I really believe the Spirit of God wants to get us to understand is... We've been so trained, I don't want to use the word dispensationally, because I believe that dispensations, I understand that, and I agree with that. There are certain time periods in history that God did certain things because God was trying to accomplish an end goal. And you know, like I've mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I mean, how many of us, when we have a big project, we break it down into smaller increments? And we do certain things, and it's all towards getting to the big goal. Well, you know, Father, there's nobody better, more organized than him. And he did things, you know, Hebrews says he did things in certain times, in certain ways, he spoke to them. But in these last times, he spoke to us through his Son. But what Jesus is really communicating here is not something you pray word for word. Because the word pray there, it's not a teo, it doesn't mean to command, it doesn't mean, It's the word that talks about in your fellowship, in your ongoing fellowship with Him. Our perspective, our desire, that which causes us to be motivated and see things a certain way. He says, you know, in when you pray in this way, first he said, our Father. Everybody say Father. Now, I want to submit to you that, you know, and I'm so glad the Lord said that today about, you know, folks, they hide in religion because they don't want to be known. They don't think that when I know them and when I get to know them that, you know, religion's telling them don't get too close because you'll point out all your sin, when the reality is they don't understand that I already see them perfect and flawless. And when people realize that, they run to me because they realize that this is who their daddy was all along. And so Jesus addresses God as Father. The religious system just saw Him as God. It was less intimate. But I want to submit to you, this is not a New Testament concept. There's a reason why He says, you know, pray like this, and He starts off by saying, you call Him Father. Because a father is one who comes to the aid of another. A father is one who comes to the aid of his kids. In fact, you know, hold your place here and go over to Isaiah chapter 64. We're going to spend a lot of time in Isaiah today. And consequently, the word Isaiah, the name Isaiah means Yah is salvation, or the salvation of Yah, speaking of God. So Isaiah had some glimpses of some things concerning the kingdom of God. That, how many know they existed when he was on the planet? It wasn't just something that showed up. What did I say, Isaiah 64? Notice what he says here, and we're going to look at some peripheral verses around this. Because we need to understand, folks, this is not just a theological bend that we address him as Father. This is coming from a place of really understanding his nature, who he is, and because we call him Father, what does he do? How does he interact? And see, and where do you go from there? Well, you go from there, from the place of understanding what our assignment is. And our assignment is to bring Daddy on the scene in people's life. That's our assignment. Over here in Isaiah 64, look at verse. Start with verse 4. It says, from days of old they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God beside you. Who acts in behalf of, everybody say behalf of. He acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. You meet him with rejoices in doing righteousness. You meet him who rejoices in doing righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. And then jump down to verse 8. He says, O Lord, you are our Father. Folks, it really is important that we understand. Why did Jesus say, okay, this is the mindset you're to have when it comes to your time with God? He said, you need to have the perspective that He's your Father, He's your Daddy. Let me go back over to Matthew. He says, pray like this or in this way, our Father. But then look at, He says, hallowed be your name. Or literally the way it's worded in the Greek New Testament is, he's saying, and it really is a command, cause your name to be set apart. Cause your name to be set apart. Daddy, cause your name to be set apart. You know, when we're out and around, we're living life. Just our mindsets and our perspectives are that of, Daddy, cause your name to be set apart. Well, how does he do that? Well, he does that. In verse 10, he says, your kingdom come. This is all a part of setting his name apart and his will being done. Did his kingdom come? Yeah, but his kingdom has always been here. This is a fallacy in our thinking when we think the kingdom just showed up after Jesus resurrected. The kingdom was always here. Because the devil doesn't own anything. He owns nothing. We may have become aware of the kingdom. Mankind may have become aware of the kingdom after Jesus' resurrection because Jesus came in as a man, he paid the price, paid the lien, got the lien of death off of people, and then he was raised up and seated in the throne. And then when he was seated in the throne, Ephesians 2 says that Father seated us with him. You know, here's the thing that's interesting. You know, we always talk about that word repent. And I hate what religion's done to that word. Repent. And it's like a bad word. But the word repent, I mean, if you study language, you know, what does re mean? Again, the word pent speaks of pinnacle. The word repent is changing your mind, but you change your mind so that he can restore you back to the pinnacle of where you were created. That's why it says in Ephesians 2:6 that when he raised Jesus up, he raised you up and seated you together with him in heavenly places, because that's where you were created. You're out of God. Man's identity is out of God. And so we have to understand, when it comes to the issues of the kingdom of God, Father said, these are the perspectives that I function by. My game plan is always, Father, cause your name to be set apart by your will being done. And he calls, and his will is the kingdom. Okay, so that's the mindset that Jesus communicated. And then later on in verse 15, or verse 13, he says at the very end of 13, he says, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, some folks say that wasn't in there, but either way, it doesn't take away from anything that was said. So what I believe we want to go through today, I want to show you some things that Jesus brought out about the kingdom. I want to show you some things that the Spirit of God showed Isaiah about the kingdom. And I want to show you specifically things that cement in your mind that the kingdom is always, it's an internal thing, it's always been. If God has always been, I mean, this is not rocket science, guys. If God has always been, then his kingdom has always been. Right? It didn't just show up after Jesus resurrected, it's always been. Now, whether or not man was connected to that kingdom, that's another story. But the fact is, we ought not, and this is kind of where I found that the general mindset has been, if we come to the place where we say, well, the kingdom's already here, that's an obsolete thought over Matthew. The problem with that is that doesn't connect with understanding what our assignment is. The kingdom may be here, but if your neighbor doesn't know that, it's not here for him. Because the kingdom has certain attributes, certain qualities that it brings when it shows up. And to be honest with you, most Christians, you might say theologically, the kingdom of God's already come, but it hasn't even come for you. Because you're certainly not walking in the benefits of what the kingdom brings when it shows up. We put up with a whole lot of junk. All the while we're saying, well, the kingdom is here. Really? How's that doing for you? We have to understand, folks, the kingdom is, we, like, you know, people say, well, you know, he mentioned in the video that, you know, The heavens are closed. Well, the heavens aren't closed. Jesus said, you'll see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The heavens are open. They're only closed between our ears. Because some religious system taught you to think a certain way, and that shut the door. So the heavens are open over us all the time. Wherever we go, I don't care if you go to Nevada where there's all kinds of sinful things going on. As soon as you show up, the heavens are open. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is in you. But that doesn't mean the kingdom has come. Where was Jesus when he said that in Matthew? Was he in heaven or in earth? Was he in earth? Because his feet were on the ground, right? So coming would involve the kingdom manifesting on this ball we call earth, right? Was he just talking about in the sweet by and by when this whole thing's over with and, you know, the devil's in the abyss and all this kind of junk and we're living for 1,000 years, you know, ruling and reign? Is that what he was talking about? No. Why does religion tell us that's what he's talking about then? That's the dumbest thing you can think. Because Jesus operated his ministry by the principle he was telling them. That's why they were asking, hey man, teach us how to pray. We want to know how to have the same fellowship that you have. And he says, okay, it starts off by having a mindset of, Daddy, let your name be set apart every day of my life. How do you do that? Well, you and I are going to have some fun. I'm going to go minister to people, and I'm going to expect Daddy to show up and set his name apart and have his will be done in that person's life and have the kingdom come upon them so they have absolutely no excuse and they have absolutely no way they can say, well, I don't believe Jesus is alive. Our job is to bring the kingdom into the earth, not just settle on, okay, well, the kingdom's here because Jesus raised from the dead. And the kingdom is not just something that Jesus, it showed up when Jesus was raised from the dead. The kingdom has always been in place. It's always been there. In fact, you know, here's the thing that's so interesting. Go over to, where to go? Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. How many know the Holy Spirit is the government of the kingdom? Right? Did you know the Holy Spirit is the government of the kingdom? Matthew chapter 12. And look at verse 28. Matthew 12, 28. Jesus says this, he says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. The Spirit of God is the government of the kingdom. Where is the Spirit of God? He's in us. So that's why Jesus said the kingdom of God is near you, or literally the kingdom of God is inside of you. So the kingdom, yeah, it's come, but it needs to come out. Otherwise, what's the point? We all get together, sing Kumbaya, and Don't Pass Me By, and, you know, Lord, My Gentle Savior, and, you know, all kind of junk like that, and then go home on Sundays. And we all feel good about it because we all think the same way. Well, the whole entire city is just going to hell because they haven't experienced the kingdom at all. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now go over to Matthew chapter 4. The Spirit of God is the government of the kingdom. Notice what Jesus said almost immediately in his ministry. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit, led by the government of the kingdom, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And then look, and it says, after he'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights, then he became hungry, and that's when the tempter came in. And He says, since you're the Son of God, why don't you command these stones to be made bread? And Jesus, by the response of the Spirit of God, said, it stands written that mankind will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Human beings were created to live, move, and have their being in everything that was spoken out of the kingdom by the Spirit of God, including new creations. But man, all of man, was created to live by everything that came, that was spoken by God. That's the kingdom. That's where the kingdom functions. The Spirit of God is the government of the kingdom. He's the one that brings those things and causes those things to function. Look at verse 16. And I love the way this is worded. It's actually a quote from, you'll find a lot of quotes from Isaiah and Matthew. He says, let's just go to verse 15. It says, it's a quote from Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. They saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land in the shadow of death, upon them, what does it say? A light has dawned. Upon them a light has dawned. Why? Because Jesus came into the planet and said the kingdom of God is here. He came in as a man and brought the kingdom with him. It wasn't that the kingdom didn't exist. It was that finally a man can walk it out permanently and bring the will of his daddy from heaven and out of the unseen heaven realm into the earth seen realm. And that's why when he told the disciples, he said, look, I want you to have the same perspective as I do. When you're in the presence of God, you see him as daddy, and your mindset is, daddy, your name be set apart. Set your name apart by your will being done in the earth as it is in heaven. Set your name apart by your will being done in the earth here as it is in heaven. Set your name apart by your will being done in the earth as it is in heaven. How in the world we let that get all screwed up into some religious stupid mantra, I don't know. Well, I do know. It's a lack of revelation. The light didn't dawn. But he's saying here, in connection with the kingdom coming, the light is dawned upon the people. And then the very next verse, it says in verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent or change your mind and be restored to the pinnacle, because the kingdom of God is here. Here's the thing that's so fascinating, folks. Go back over to Matthew 12 real quick. Matthew 12. I want to show this to you. Again, in verse 15 it says, and Jesus, aware of this, they were griping about him healing on the Sabbath. I'm going to show you something about that in the next couple of weeks. Is it okay if we just like de-religiousize everything we can possibly de-religiousize? Because some of the things, what God meant by the Sabbath was not what the system said, But he goes on to say here, because Jesus was aware of that, it says in verse 15, he withdrew from there, many followed him, and he healed them all. Notice he healed them all. Why did he heal them all? Because the kingdom of God is here. He healed them all. And it says, warned them not to tell who he was. This was to fill what was spoken through, here we go again, Isaiah, the prophet. Incidentally, that's Isaiah 42, 1 through 3, as he's getting ready to quote here. He says, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved to whom my soul is well pleased. I put my spirit upon him. There's the governor of the kingdom. I put my spirit upon him, and he'll proclaim justice. Everybody say justice. Now, the NASB in the New Testament says justice to the Gentiles, but if you go back and read that in the Old, it probably says nations. Because Gentiles is just ethnic groups. It includes everybody on the planet, right? So he puts his spirit upon him, speaking of Jesus. This is a prophetic verse speaking of when Jesus comes into the earth. He put his spirit upon them, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He'll not quarrel, not cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, but it says, until he leads justice to victory. Now, that's kind of an obscure section of scriptures, but I want to show you one particular word in here, because if you're religious and you've been trained by the religious system, when you see the word justice, it says, I'll put my spirit upon him and he'll proclaim justice. You see the word judgment. They may be interchangeable, but it's not that kind of judgment. See, the religious system is always wanting God to get man. Get him, get him. But that's not the spirit in which Jesus came, and that's not the spirit of the kingdom. The word justice, and I'm going to show you some verses, and I'll prove it to you in your Bible. When we talk about justice, we're talking about a complete and total restoration of everything that belongs to people. That's what justice is. And the sad thing is, because the church has relegated its responsibility and relegated its ability to bring justice into society, it's relegated all those things to the natural governments of the world to take care of. And how many know they don't do a very good job? Because it was never their job. It was the church's job. But the first thing that the darkness did was tell the church, you got no power. Jesus doesn't do that anymore. Oh, and by the way, he doesn't want you to have any money either. So then the church bought into that mess, stepped back, relegated their position of authority to somebody else, because after all, if God doesn't do that anymore, then I can't do anything like what I'm reading in the Bible, because I can't do those things. And I, you know, besides that, God doesn't even talk to me anymore like he did, like in these pages. So then, oh, and he doesn't want you to have any money either, so we can't really do anything. So we basically stepped out of the way and let the natural systems of the world step in and take our place. And now the church begs from them. When the reality of it is, it was always the church's job to bring the kingdom into the earth and the resources of the kingdom, and to, quote, bring justice into societies so that human beings got an opportunity to experience the restoration of everything that belonged to them and what that felt like and what that was like, because that's who Daddy is. It's not God's will for the church to be playing second fiddle to somebody else. Did you hear what I said? And I'm not saying this in any kind of way, in any kind of heart attitude of, you know, insurrection or any of that kind of mess. So don't go away from me thinking I'm trying to, you know, I'm anti this or anti that. I'm not saying that at all. The Bible says we're supposed to support our governments and pray for our leaders. So we do that. But the reality is nobody has any equipping to bring the kingdom of God unless you're a new creation. And even then you have to learn how to walk in that. Every time we get direction and wisdom in any kind of situation we're in from the Spirit of God, and he shows us how to do something, or he puts an impression on the inside of us to step out and go a certain direction, and we really don't know, understand what the reason is, so we go ahead and we do it because we're trained in the kingdom. We do it, and all of a sudden the kingdom provision comes flooding forward and meets a need and causes something to be established that we never had in our wildest imaginations. That's kingdom provision. That's the kingdom of God coming from the unseen into the seen. That's the will of Daddy being established in the earth. The result of that establishment is His name being set apart as holy. Because ain't nobody like Him. And that's the process. Natural governments have no, absolutely zero power to do that. Natural governments were never intended to have to meet the needs of every single person in their nation because it'll bankrupt them. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ was equipped from day one, always has been equipped with the kingdom to be able to be all sufficient in all things and able to abound unto every good work. The problem is we let the spirit of religion talk us out of our place of authority and talk us out of our provision. When we did that, we stepped back and we left a void there, and guess what? Who filled it? Natural systems, because somebody has to do it. I mean, somebody has to step up and meet the needs of people if we're going to believe a lie and step back and say we're powerless. So, he says, my servant, speaking of Jesus, Isaiah got a glimpse of Jesus coming into the earth. He said, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I put my spirit upon him. Everybody say the government of the kingdom. And then the end result is, it says until he leads justice to victory, or he leads complete and total restoration. Here's the thing that's interesting. I love this word in the Greek New Testament. The word leads there in the NASB, whatever your translation, it may be different. But it's the Greek word, it's actually two Greek words put together. The first one is ek. It means out of. Out of, you know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised out from the dead. He was raised out from the dead. Okay, that's what the word ek means. Something's out from you. And then balo means to throw. I mean, it's used in the New Testament when it talks about casting the devil out of people. You know, those of you guys like WWF. There's a whole lot of throwing going on. And what he's talking about here is this is not just some mild-mannered, little pleasant, you know, phony humility thing. He's displacing something. He's displacing an established dominion that's in place with another one. And it's so drastic. It's like, you know, the picture I got when I saw that word ekbalo, it's a picture. I mean, can you picture if you're standing, let's say me and you are having a conversation at home plate. And we're just talking, you know, we're not paying attention to nothing. We're just talking. And all of a sudden, a National League pitcher gets up on the mound unbeknownst to us. And all of a sudden, he throws a 90-mile-an-hour fastball down the pipe. Are we going to sit there and just keep on talking? Unless you want to get hit. But anybody that has any sense, we're going to get out of the way, right? Imagine the impact that baseball had when it showed up. That's the picture of Ekbalo. When he came, his mission was to drastically replace the dominion that was established over human beings with Daddy's dominion. And the word justice means total restoration of things. See, isn't it unfortunate that the church has had this mindset of, you know, judgment is God's going to get you because you're sorry, evil sinners. When the reality was, God got you because He wants to bring restoration completely into your life and show you who Daddy is. You know, there's not another religion that I know of that even talks about the manifestation of God as dad. Well, I take that back. There's one, but it's so phony, it's ridiculous. New Age people talk about father, but they don't have a clue what they're talking about because they're not connected to him. That's like an orphan talking about the daddy inside the house. You know, that's my daddy. It's my daddy. It's my dad. Really? So, the kingdom brings total restoration. Let me show you some scriptures here so I want you to see these things. Look at Psalms 33, verse 5. Psalms 33, 5. We're kind of laying a foundation today. I want to show you some things about the permanence of the kingdom. We need to stop thinking about like some new concept with Jesus raising from the dead. The permanence of the kingdom. How many know the Israelites in Egypt, in the land of Goshen, they experienced the kingdom? Right? Do you think Noah in the boat with his family members, minus all the smell of the animals, do you think he experienced the kingdom? Absolutely. You think Adam, before he submitted to another authority, do you think he was experiencing the kingdom? Absolutely. Why? Because the kingdom just is. The kingdom is. Because Father always has been. What did I say? Psalms? Psalms 33:5 says this. He loves righteousness and what? Justice. That means total restoration. The earth is full. Everybody say full. Of the loving kindness of the Lord. His justice comes from his loving kindness. His justice is not something it's not that religious bend of what they call judgment. Justice is restoration of everything completely what belongs to you. Because your identity, your history is the kingdom as a human being. You know, when I did years ago when I did a study on what the word born again. It literally, you know, it means to be born from above, but it has the idea of to be placed back into a genealogy you used to belong to. That's what it means. I never learned that when I was a kid. I went to church almost my whole life. It never had anything to do with that. Because in religion, your origin's not in God. In religion, your origin isn't, you're a sinner, and that's who you are, and that's who you're born, that's how you were born, and that's all you are, and that's the only identity you have. But the problem is, and God is screaming up there, Daddy's screaming, no, that's not true. Your identity was in me before it was in anybody else. That's why he calls it being born again. It has nothing to do with, well, natural versus spiritual. You were placed back into a genealogy that you used to exist in. Mankind has no clue that their identity is in God. They have absolutely no clue. And the religious systems of the day haven't done anything to help them. But the reality of it is, when God talks about justice, he loves justice. Because justice means, I take everything that darkness has done to you, everything that darkness has given you, everything that darkness is not giving you, and Satan doesn't belong to you. He doesn't belong to them either. It belongs to me. So let me give it to you. Because that's who he is. It comes from his loving kindness. Can you imagine what life is like when we understand that our job is an extension of the kingdom? The kingdom is in you. Everywhere we go, the kingdom is in us. Every place I go, I'm cultivating a perspective that I'm going to speak something to somebody. I'm going to let the kingdom out of me to somebody. And if I get a word of knowledge, that's even better. But if I don't get a word of knowledge, I'm going to initiate it and see if a word of knowledge shows up. Because the kingdom is here. And God wants to bring justice to that person behind the counter. God wants to bring justice to that person who's walking down the mall. God wants to bring justice to that person that has absolutely no clue that their identity and their provision and everything that they are is in God. The saddest thing that we've done in our society is we bring children into the society and we let the culture tell them who they are. The culture has absolutely no clue who they are. They're not qualified to speak along those lines. The only one that's qualified to tell a human being who they are is who they came out of, and that's God. So, go to Psalms 146. Psalms 146. I'm telling you, there's so much in Isaiah. I'll get to a few of those right in a minute here. But there's so much in the book of Isaiah. As I was studying this, I said, Lord, I just cannot sit there and just read every verse in Isaiah that talks about this. Not in one service, anyway. I mean, Isaiah 146 verse 7. Isaiah 146 verse 7 says this. Who executes justice for the oppressed? Let's just back up and let's just look at this a little farther up so we can. Verse 5. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in him, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. Everybody say the kingdom. Verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. Verse 10, the Lord will reign forever. So we're talking about kingdom language here. Kingdom language. Do you know how exciting it is to understand that Daddy loves us so much that he put himself in us. He put his spirit, the governor of the kingdom, in us. He gave us open communication from the kingdom into our lives so that any place we are, anytime, any place, anywhere, we are equipped by the Spirit of God to bring complete restoration to that person of everything that belongs to them and to re-establish them on the pinnacle where God created them to be. That's what kingdom business is. What did Jesus say about the blind man in John chapter 9? His disciples were trained by a religious system, and the religious system trains you to look at the outward, to look at the circumstances, and make a judgment call based on what you see with your eyes. Well, he must have had some sin in his life. That's why he's blind. Do you ever notice the religious system, that's all they ever pay attention to is the outward? You got to fix it up, spruce it up, paint it up. Don't paint it up. And then when you make a mistake, it's all it focuses on is your screw-ups. Aren't you glad Daddy doesn't think that way? I wonder if human beings really understand that it really wasn't the people that rejected Jesus, it was the religious system. Because the religious system was run by darkness. And darkness always rejects light. Because that means a loss of authority and a loss of control. It wasn't people that put Jesus on the cross. It was the system. So, go to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59. Incidentally, you heard in that video, you heard him say, we have more miracles that happen on the streets every day than we do on our services and Sundays. Get ready. You're Isaiah 59, right? Look at verse 15. Let's go to the second half of verse 15. It starts off by saying, now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. Now, what is justice? Total restoration, right? When you read the word justice or judgment, you need to read total restoration. He says, and now it was displeasing in his sight, and there was no justice, and he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness beheld him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. And then go down to verse 18, the last half of verse 18 says, to the coastlands he will recompense. See, that's what justice is. Restoration. And they also, they will fear the name of the Lord, or reverence the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And he'll come like a rushing stream. This is talking about the operation of the moving of the Spirit, which the wind of the Lord drives. A Redeemer will come. Now look at verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My Spirit, who is the Spirit? He's the government of the kingdom, which is upon you. And my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, for now and... What does it say? Forever. Why? Because if the kingdom has always existed, the kingdom has always wanted to say something. And Father's heart's desire has always been for open communication channels to be from the kingdom into man in the earth. I love what the video said. God's got plans for this planet. This is my covenant with them, my Spirit which is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth. How in the world did we ever allow a religious system to tell a human being that God does not talk to you anymore? Go over to Isaiah chapter 60. Or 61, excuse me. Isaiah 61. Verse 7. Isaiah brings out a lot about what the kingdom, the best he could describe what the kingdom produced. Because I mean, when the kingdom shows up, it displaces whatever dominion was here, it displaces that and it puts the king's dominion in its place, right? Hence the word kingdom. Okay, and he says here in Isaiah, what did I say, Isaiah 61? Look at verse 7. It says, instead of your shame, you'll have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, you'll shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love what? Justice. You know, I hear a lot of churches, especially in certain neighborhoods, talking about, you know, we need social justice. We need justice. And yeah, you do. But you're not going to get it any place except where you learn how to live in the kingdom and get what's in the unseen from Father's will, His desire, His heart, from the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of God, from the unseen into the seen, that's the only thing that's going to bring accurate justice. Everything else is a counterfeit. Everything else is just not good enough. Everything else is a work of your natural abilities, and it's not going to produce the lasting results that you want. Are we supposed to feed the hungry? Yes. Are we supposed to clothe? Yes. Are we supposed to do something for the homeless? Yes. What about the rich guy? Well, we're just supposed to curse him. Really? Is he a human being? Is he breathing? Does he need to have some light dawning on him? Then let's bring the kingdom. Human beings, when they have experienced the kingdom, everything that they own, they don't care. They just, because that's what the kingdom does. It just, once people have a revelation and a acquaintance with Daddy, all of a sudden the natural stuff just doesn't seem to work. It doesn't seem to have a whole lot of weight. And even better, once you realize who Daddy is, you're not holding on to everything because you're afraid of losing it. So if we want to impact society, and we want to bring justice to neighborhoods and societies, all the way up through the food chain and down, then the best thing to do is we bring the kingdom. It'll affect everybody on their level, and everything will flow accordingly. Look what happened in the book of Acts. They were experiencing the kingdom. What did they do? They really didn't think too much about the things that they were owning. In fact, they were pleased because of the Spirit of God in them and on them. He would lead them in a certain direction to sell this property, to sell that property, and give those proceeds to this person or that person. And so they would do that, and it wasn't any big deal because they knew there's more where that came from. Because everything comes from Him, through Him, and to Him. So there's a flow in the kingdom. Jesus told the disciples before He sent them out, He said, freely you've received, so therefore freely give. And then in Luke 6:38, we've always only used that for money. He said, give and it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Well, men give unto your bosom. But you can't separate Luke 6 from what he said, I believe, over Matthew, where it was, freely you receive, freely give. He was talking about the flow of the kingdom. When we bring the kingdom, the natural monetary wealth of this world is drawn to that because it came from that. Do you understand what I just said? Everything that is on this planet that is of any kind of substance at all was created by the kingdom. So therefore, when the kingdom shows up, the natural response of things natural is to be drawn to that, because that's where it came from. That's why when the kingdom shows up and people have wealth, they don't hold on to it. The natural response of that is to do what you see in the book of Acts. Because they understand, man, the kingdom, there's unlimited resources in the kingdom. And I just want to get in on the flow of that thing, man. I just want to get in. I just want to be in. Look what happened when David was gathering materials and things to build the temple. It said, I don't have the figures in front of me, but if you translate all those figures into modern day monetary amounts, it was crazy how much those people came up with. And it all because they wanted to get in on the flow of the kingdom. They got it. So, where are we at? Isaiah 61, I read that, didn't I? Okay. Let me close with this. Go over to, here's one, your pages are sticking together. Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. Incidentally, Micah and Isaiah lived almost the exact same time. The book of Micah and Isaiah cover exactly the same time period, almost. Micah's a little bit longer, but... Micah chapter 5. Incidentally, the name Micah means who is like Yah. All these prophets bragging on God. Micah chapter 5. Look what he says. This is what I want you to see here. I want you to meditate on these things this week. Micah chapter 5. This is a prophetic word. You recognize this because it starts off talking about Bethlehem, and we immediately go to Christmas. Because this is talking about Jesus. And Micah got a glimpse of this. He says, but as for you, Bethlehem, he goes on to say down below, he says, from you, one will go forth for me to be a ruler of Israel. And look what it says here. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Now, you know, we know that John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know, it talks about it means in eternity past, the word in the beginning, the phrase in the beginning. In Genesis and in John doesn't really mean in the beginning, because there's no beginning in eternity. It just means in eternity past. There's no beginning point with eternity. It didn't start one day. It just always has been. And so Micah's bringing this out. He sees it. He says, you know, there's going to come one from Bethlehem. And this is when Jesus came into the earth, took on the name of Jesus as a man, as a baby. It says, one will come forth from me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. And then it talks about when she who is in labor has born a child, and he will arise in verse 4. He will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. Can you say grace? The working of his power. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And then it goes on to say, at the latter half of that verse, is at that time, he will be great to the ends of the earth. And this one will be our peace. The word peace is the word shalom, means nothing missing or broken. This one will be our nothing missing or broken. But let me ask you a question. And this is what I want you to understand. If he existed from eternity past, didn't he live in a kingdom? And if he existed from eternity past, hasn't that kingdom always existed from eternity past too? Can you wrap your mind around the understanding that as a new creation, when he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, isn't that a shame we dumb that down to individuals? Because it's manageable. When he said nations, and the only way you can reach nations is if you bring the kingdom. I mean, if you read the writing, we're going to see some next week in Isaiah, he talks about whole nations' attentions turning to the Lord. Why? Because of a manifestation of the kingdom of God. And it's not supposed to be some, you know, in the sweet by and by, you know, some euphoric, weird, ethereal thing, whatever that means. It means that the people that are connected, are kingdom connected, the kingdom comes through them and they let it out. And the presence of Father shows up in every place, anytime, any place, anywhere he wants to. Because we understand that as he said in John 9, Jesus said, concerning back, talking about the blind man again, he said, look, it doesn't matter whether this guy was in sin or his mom and dad were in sin or whatever, that's not even the issue. The issue is, Daddy, make your name set apart. The issue is to bring glory to my Father. Daddy, set your name apart by your will being done, as it is in heaven, so in earth. This guy's not blind in heaven. even though his physical body may not have any eyes from the time he was born, he's not blind. There's no blind guys in heaven. There's no diseased people in heaven. I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it the bad way, so don't go there. There's no gay people in heaven either. Because the real them is not. Their spirit. There's no gay spirits. That's all a contamination of natural things. Jesus understood, look, what you're looking at, boys, is a guy who was born a certain way. But just because he's born a certain way doesn't mean that natural body has to stay that way. Because my daddy's will ain't nothing broken in heaven. So our job is to traffic in my father's business. The man received new eyes. The kingdom came upon that man because daddy's will was done. Can you imagine in your lifetime how many people you will stand in front of? And just because you make a declaration out of your mouth, Daddy, your name be set apart, cause your kingdom to come on this person. Everything that was wrong gets made right. In Revelation 21, it says this. He says, I make all things new. I make all things new. Why? Because they are. Man, I wish I had known about this when I was younger. I wouldn't have wasted so much of my life. But I'm glad I know about it now. I don't want regular old religious crap anymore. Because it's all about my daddy's business. Amen? Did you get anything out of this? Go ahead and stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love you. And I thank you for every person in this room. And Father, I thank you. You know exactly where every person in this room is at. You know where they are as far as their comfort zone with you. And my desire is you just cause your kingdom to flow out upon these people like they've never experienced before. Cause your spirit to rise up in them and put such a hunger for the trafficking of the kingdom that they've never known. And I thank you for your hand upon each individual. I thank you that you open the eyes of their understanding and give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the things of the kingdom of God. I thank you that you're taking us someplace. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're all on board. We want to go with you. Nothing else is good enough. And so I just thank you that your love overflows, drives out all fear, replaces it with a supernatural boldness because the hand of the Lord is upon us. And I just thank you and praise you for that. And I look forward to a good report. Father, every issue that's in these people's lives, whether it's physical wholeness, fighting with some kind of physical ailment or sickness or infirmity, cause them to be rooted in themselves, the real them. Because every person in this room, there may be something going on with them, Lord, but at the same exact time, simultaneously, in every single seat that they're sitting in, is that same person totally set free. Totally set free. All things new. So I declare that now in the name of the Lord Jesus. All those things that are wrong, all those things that are out of line, all those things that are in rebellion against the Spirit of God, all of those things, physical things that are not functioning as they were created to, perfectly, holy, and soundly. By the name of the Lord Jesus and the authority that's in that name, I command those things. You get back right and you function properly and you let them go in Jesus' name. And you have no choice because your day is done. And all those who agree with that prayer said, Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.